I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Okay, now turn to your right, please. To your left. You look like you were posing for a mugshot when we were coming up there.
Yeah, well, that could happen.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. It's week three of Father Larry on video.
Kind of scary, I know.
Guess what? Stand up.
I can't. No.
Come on. Come on.
No. Well, I'm going to beat you. That's it.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll. Father Larry is setting up for Oktoberfest, and he had his Sunday go to labor in clothes on earlier, and so he's
nice too. Yeah. But the top, I'm all together here, so that's the whole point.
That's all that matters.
Exactly.
If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line. 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN 55000. So put the letters EWTN into your text program, and into the address bar you put 55000. You hit send, and then you'll get a response from us, and you then text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply.
They may.
I couldn't have done that any worse.
Well, it's okay, Jack.
I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Michael McCall, producing the program. Your call screener is Mr. Matt Kubensky. Jeff Burson, nice person, taking care of our social media endeavors, and our host as he is every single Thursday and for the third week in a row, live in living color, Father Larry Richards.
Hi.
Hi, Father.
How are you?
Terrific, thank you.
Good job.
We have an anonymous email that says, can I go to the wedding?
What wedding?
It doesn't matter. We get that question
every week. That is my number.
It doesn't really.
Please, here we go again.
The specifics don't really matter.
It's no, just, exactly. Yeah,
the fact is, like, you know, can I go to the wedding?
Can I go to the wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I have no idea. I don't know. Who am I?
Well, you know, Father, I think this really illustrates a point, quite frankly, especially in our culture, that would come up so frequently. You know, really, in the annals of human history, it was not that long ago that these scenarios would have been completely unthinkable. And I think it really illustrates, number one, how desperately we need to evangelize our brothers and sisters out there in the world. And it also illustrates what a lousy job, for the most part, we've done in recent years.
That's exactly correct. And again, it is such a... The world is so different, you know. When I was just up in Cleveland, I was talking about people who lost all their loved ones to this opium epidemic. I mean, 50 years ago, that wasn't even a part of the question. You know, all these people dying and overdosing. And it's unbelievable. It's throughout the country. And when I talked about it, I just sat there and says, you know, 50 years ago, the difference was God was part of our culture. Right? You know, even in public schools, they prayed. You know, families prayed. People went to church, whatever. Nowadays, God isn't in any part of our culture. And so if people can't fill themselves up with God, they got to fill that something spiritual need up with something. So they do it with sexuality or drugs or alcohol or any of these other things. And that's why I really believe the problem is so prevalent now is we've brought God out of the culture. And we thought, oh, that would help. But think about it. Every culture, communist culture, that took God out of the equation, it always became a horrific, horrible, deadly to people thing when you try to take God out of stuff. It's just horrendous. And yet people still think that's the answer. It has been proven again and again and again. Atheistic, communist countries kill people because there's no morals to deal with when there is no God. So... Yeah,
you know, I always thought it was interesting when this has kind of made its way to the back burner to a certain extent, but when the Ten Commandments monuments protests were in vogue, it always occurred to me, what is there to protest? I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? People follow them? That would be horrible.
Mm-hmm. It would be, exactly. And that would be, and that's the whole reality. Like, how does this stuff happen? You know, and again, like my thing though, I've often said that, you know, we should be fighting too for the greatest of the commandments from Jesus, who sits there and says, love one another as I have loved you. That's the commandment of God, you know, and that would always put the perspective that the Ten Commandments also happen with this in mind, that all these things is about loving each other. That's why the commandments are there. So it remind us, it isn't a thing into itself. You know, Jesus said, this is my commandment, which sums up all the ten, you know, and I said we have to do both. But anyway, yeah, can you imagine?
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. It's toll-free anywhere in the United States and Canada. 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we want to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line. I ratted you out earlier and told everybody that you were only half a priest today, from a fashion standpoint anyway. And you're actually, we're helping some of your parishioners get ready for your Oktoberfest, so give us a little spiel.
Yes,
give
if
us
you
a,
are
an Oktoberfest spiel and an invite.
Absolutely. We have every year, this is our 11th annual Oktoberfest. And so every year, all our people, we work for months on this, and we have these various different beers. We have an Oktoberfest beer made just for us. We have all this food that's very great German food. We have German bands. We have over 150 baskets. You should have seen these baskets. If you go to my website at stjosephbol.org, you can read all about it. But people from Pittsburgh and Buffalo and Cleveland, you can come here with no problem. All the people in Erie, all the people in Akron, everybody in this area, you got to come. It's from Friday, tomorrow night. We start at 5:30. We tap the keg, and then we go on till 6 o'clock. And you can also go online to that same place, and we have a raffle for $25,000. So I always say, I don't believe in gambling. It is a donation to my parish. And then when you give a donation of $10 to the parish, you can win $25,000, but it's just a donation is what I say for people who don't like the gambling thing. But, you know, so you want to come. It'd be great. Come to Mass. We have on Saturday night, we have Mass at 4:15, and I have that Mass, and then you can come get dinner later, or you can come Sunday morning, 11, I have that Mass, and then you can get lunch after. It is a fine, fine time.
Would I maybe stumble across a schnitzel?
Yeah, oh my gosh, we have so much of the different schnitzels and the food is phenomenal. We have what people love is sauerkraut balls. Do you ever have a sauerkraut ball?
I'm on the way. I'll tell you that right now.
It's these balls with sauerkraut and cheese in it, and you deep fry them, and they're about like a big meatball. And it's the greatest things you would think, oh my gosh. People go crazy for our sauerkraut balls. And we have a Bavarian festival, and oh my gosh. It's a fine, fine time. Well, you know, I dress up in all my German stuff. It's great.
Lederhosen.
I don't wear the
Father Lederhosen, Larry?
No. I wear my suspenders and my hat, and I have all these feathers and that in it. And I always have a big, because we have our own big liter beer steins, and so I'm always walking around. Of course, I don't drink it. It just looks good for me to be carrying it around when I'm going from place to place.
I got you. All right. We're just getting started on an Open Line Thursday. The number is 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. Talking the new sauerkraut balls here on EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry.
Colin Donovan.
Entering university, I had the religious understanding of someone catechized in the 1960s. That changed when a fellow freshman asked me if a Catholic could use the pill. My uninformed answer was, sure, why not? I then went and read Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae and concluded, this is truth. I've never looked back in my love of our Catholic faith since.
Open Line with Colin Donovan, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On July 13, 1917, Our Lady spoke to the children at Fatima, and she said, continue to pray the rosary every day in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war. It's not a difficult request, not a complicated request, and yet, do we do it? Do we pray the rosary every day? Our Lady makes this simple request, and she says that it will make great differences, that wars will end, that conflicts will be resolved, and that conversion of sinners will be obtained. If praying the rosary can end a war, how much more so can it also end conflicts within us, in our families, and among each other? Prayer changes things. Do we pray the rosary every day? A simple request of Our Lady. Pray the rosary every day.
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
This is Bishop William Medley of the Diocese of Owensboro.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Hi, I'm Archbishop William Laurie, the Archbishop of Baltimore, and you're listening to EWTN Radio.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
We're talking the new evangelization on an Open Line Thursday. Father Larry's in the house. The number's 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. We want to hear from you. I want to hear from somebody from the mother country to critique St. Joseph Bread of Life Parish Bread of Life Community in Erie, Pennsylvania's Oktoberfest. I need somebody to call in from the Rhineland.
Besides Dr. Ray.
Besides Dr. Ray, who's not from the Rhineland.
No,
he's from Italy. He's from Cannes.
Yeah.
That's where
he's
from. don't even go to Italy. He's just from Cannes.
Okay, he's from Cannes, like mother.
That's exactly right. So, at 50% is not bad, right?
Yeah, exactly.
they're hitting 500 in Cannes. But give us a call at 1-205-271-2985, and our call screener, Matt Gubenski, might even greet you in Polish.
Maybe. That'd be pretty good.
1-800-585-9396. If you're in North America, send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. You can also find us on our YouTube channel and on Facebook Live. That's where Jack found us. This is obviously an intelligent cat right here.
Obviously.
Jack, watching on Facebook, said, how can we explain to our Protestant brothers the concept of purgatory?
Well, the concept of purgatory is a beautiful, beautiful concept. And the scripture for it is in Second Maccabees, and you can just go and Google it in Catholics and Purgatory, or just the best way really to go is Catholic.com. They have a beautiful explanation of it. But my way of explaining it the best is that God is pure love. And when we die, if we're not, if we're in a state of grace, but there's still that selfishness and that within us, that the Lord in his love embraces us and he pulls us to himself. And his love is so pure and so good that as he pulls us to himself, it burns away all the selfishness and sin that's still in our hearts and still in our lives and still in our souls. And that's the purification. So purgatory is the purgation of the soul so that we can enter into the beauty and the power of God. So the more we've sinned, the more selfishness we've had, the more pride, the longer that process takes. But it's a process of the love of God, not the punishment of God. It's a process of the love of God. And so when we look at that, we just remember that God is so filled with love and so filled with mercy. It's unbelievable.
1-800-585-9396. We have 6 lines open.
Wow. Nobody wants to talk to me. Is that what you're saying?
At 1-800-585-9396. I need someone to please call so that Father Larry will stop crying. 1-800-585-9396.
Yes, you know how this is here. That means I have to talk to Jack for the whole time. People, save me.
Tanya's working. I'm working. How am I doing? Tanya's watching on YouTube, and she says, how do the Catholics pray for the dead if you are not Catholic?
How? What?
I just read them, Father Larry.
How do the Catholics pray for the dead if you're not Catholic?
That's right. That's Tanya's question.
How do the Catholic? I don't know what it means. I don't either. But I think it's the way I put that in there. So I'm guessing that we can even pray for people who aren't Catholic, I guess this might be what it means, that people who have died, even if they're not Catholic, I think it's always a great thing. Now, some people might be asking, so what if someone who's not Catholic and they die and they have no one to pray for them? Well, there are plenty, like just the priest I live with here, Father Wright, every week he pray, every day, but every week, twice a week, he has souls just for the forgotten souls in purgatory. So that there are people throughout the world who pray for people who are in purgatory that have no one to pray for them.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
You hear that often about praying for folks that are in purgatory that have no one to pray for them, mm-hmm. but don't all the Eucharistic prayers at Mass pray for the
they do. Absolutely.
Souls in purgatory?
And my,
so
and,
that
and
would be
again,
a little bit of a misnomer, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be a little bit of both, but we need to make sacrifices in that. Once I ask Father Levis, God rest him, of EWTN, you know, he's a friend of mine, and I was in class with him, and I sat there and says, now, if we pray for people and they get out of purgatory, and we're still praying for their souls in purgatory, but they've been out of purgatory for years, you know, what's that doing? Well, God, of course, puts that to someone else who is in most need of it. I said, okay, it works for me, so... You know, that the reality of God knows how to deal with all these things. So all the prayers that we say for everything is always effective. There is no grace that is never not effective. God always takes it and turns it into good.
Steve's watching on Facebook Live, and he says,
"Hi, Steve.
How can you explain the importance of the sacrament of reconciliation to someone who does not see the importance of going to confession?"
Oh, I always say my degree's in counseling, and, you know, people don't believe in confession. They'll spend $100 an hour for a counselor, and the only thing you're doing with a counselor is going to confession. And the counselor's going, okay, $100, please. You know, a priest can go, now I absolve you of your sins, and I give you the gift of eternal life. Oh, and that's free. You know, so everybody needs confession. I don't care who it is, no matter what they say, people need confession. So Jesus made it a sacrament so that we can do it, and it's effective, and it brings someone life instead of just going into, you know, confession is good for the soul. So again, no matter what, Jesus explicitly says, and through James, his apostle, confess your sins to one another that you may find healing. And then it says, you know, when Jesus, it goes and he breathes on them after the resurrection, he goes, receive the Holy Spirit. And then what does Jesus say? He says, those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Those who sins you retain, they are retained. So the reality of why would God give us the power if he didn't want us to use it? Huh? So it's an important thing.
We'll go to the phones now. Our leadoff hitters.
We're going to the phones.
Yeah, we are. Our leadoff hitters in Prosser, Washington. Celeste Lynn is listening on the EWTN app. Celeste Lynn, that is a beautiful name. I like it.
I was just going to say, I never heard that before. Very nice.
Thank you.
What's up, Celeste?
My question is related to evangelization. I wasn't going to call, but you guys kept mentioning it.
Good job.
Because I'm going through that right now. I might have a lot of family members who have fallen away from God and from their faith. And my sister is one. She called me recently and told me she was having a baby, and not without giving all the details, she I just encouraged her to get married to her boyfriend and told her, you know, God loves you. He's waiting for you. You know, just continue to pray, because she said she was praying, you know, continue to pray and earnestly seek him, and he's waiting for you. And then I had another family member, a cousin, who then got a hold of me and said, you're being judgmental to say those things to her because she has different religious beliefs now. A lot of us do, and just leave people alone, quit telling people about God. And I don't agree with him, but at the same time, I just keep thinking, how would one of the saints have handled it? I don't know. I guess I'm a new Catholic. I'm not a new Christian, but I'm a new Catholic, and I know that evangelization is very different. I just want to make sure I'm not doing anything that would offend God. And if there would be good resources.
Yeah. Well, again, sure. I think that the best thing to do when we're evangelizing, especially family members, is the way I tell people to evangelize is the first thing you do is pray for them every day. You know, that's the first thing. And so when I mean pray for them, you write their name down. You say the Divine Mercy Chaplet for them, like especially for your sister who's going to have a baby. You know, and you say, because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on putting her a name and on the whole world. Yeah. And you can do some great things. So first thing you do is pray. The second thing you do is you just love them. You know, and it's all there is. And you don't, you know, like there was a great Christian song, and I can't remember, Steve Green, I don't know Stephen Green, but anyway, it would be like, don't you tell them Jesus loves them until you're ready to love them too. You know, so sometimes the biggest thing before telling them God loves you is, you know how much I love you. And then it's easy to talk about the love of God, because then, because sometimes they'll know, sometimes people think that we're judging them and not loving them. So if we make sure that that they know that we love them, then they'll not feel the judgment. So the second thing you do is you love them. And then the third thing you do is you witness to them. Now, witness is different than preaching, because preaching is about, this is what you got to do. Like, for instance, with your sister getting pregnant, I, as a priest, would never, ever tell anyone to marry someone just because they're pregnant by them. Because it could be a horrible thing. A baby is not a reason for marriage. It just isn't. Mm-hmm. Especially if it was a one-night stand, or if they're not in love, or they don't want to commit their lives to each other the way they need to. In fact, it's easy an annulment later if they got married with that pressure on of a baby being there, if it's not the full committed will. So the third thing is you do is you witness to them. And what witness is you're just sharing them what Jesus has done for you. And you just do it, go and say, and it could be simple as, I love you so much and I'm praying for you. That's all. And I'm praying for your baby. Period. You don't have to say you should get married. You don't have to do any of the other stuff. All you're doing is saying, I'm praying for you. I love you. And I'm going to pray for your child is healthy. And then you're opening the door, and then you're preparing their soul by the praying and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the other things can fall right into place. And you don't have to worry. But you're doing well. I mean, gosh, have mercy. So keep doing it. You're on the right track. Don't worry. You can never be bad, because all you want to do is bring people to salvation. So, I mean, we just learn better ways and easier ways as we go on. But that was a great thing. Don't worry about it. It's great. You keep praying for her.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, that helps. I was also hoping you might have some good resources for, you know, evangelization from a Catholic standpoint that would be reliable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, again, as I've said earlier, the Catholic.com is a great thing to find out. Always they do is they do apologetics there. And so you can go in there and say, you know, what about purgatory, or what about this? And all that's the best stuff to happen is when it comes to there to explain things. But when it comes to the actual evangelization, you know, one of the things that we were talking about last week is the Alpha program, but that's for a whole parish. Now, when it comes to individual stuff, I would go to the St. Paul Street Evangelization website, and they have some great things. Like, one of the things they do, and one of the things I do too, is I carry miraculous medals with me. And like, whenever I go and I'm at a hotel or something, I'll always give, not only with my tip at the hotel at the end of my stay, is I'll always give a miraculous medal on there with that. And I leave them at, when I'm going to eat dinner, I'll put them as my tip with there too. I give money, of course, plus a miraculous medal and that. So there's other ways that, but again, the way I just told you, I've been doing this a long time. When you do it and you do it in order, great things can happen. If you pray for someone, you love someone, and then you witness to them, that you can do no matter what, no matter when, and that is a lot you can do. Okay?
Right. Yes, God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling us.
You know, we've learned a lesson here, Father Larry.
We did.
If you cry, the phone lines light up.
See?
They're full.
Because now they can see me crying and tears coming down.
They've gone from empty to full.
They are full.
Just from a couple of your little crocodile tears.
Can you imagine? I think it was you making them feel guilty there, Jack.
There may be some truth to that. I would like to point out, however, that you have neither given me cash nor a miraculous medal.
Well, that's true, because I already know it's too late.
Oh, Father Larry. Wow. I walked right into that one, didn't I?
You did. You were open. I had to go through the door. I just had to do it. I didn't say too late for what. Could be that you're so exactly. holy that exactly. you don't need that. It's way beyond that. You can interpret it any way you'd like.
I got you. I got you. All right. We've got plenty of time for your phone calls. The number's 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. Again, if you're outside the United States and Canada, I want a call from Germany, 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or text your question. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. Craig, Kate, you're up next. Open Line Thursday with Father Larry.
With a dynamic new look. Life on the Rock with Father Mark and the Franciscan Missionaries. Loaded with compelling interviews, authoritative insights, and much more. Their mission? To engage Catholics in the new evangelization. The all-new Life on the Rock with Father Mark and the Franciscan Friars of the Eternal Word. Today, 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN. Life on the Rock.
And I'm Doug Keck here on EWTN's Bookmark Brief. I just finished talking with my great friend Marcus Grodi about his new book, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. And Marcus, could you give us a synopsis of what this book is about?
Wow, maybe the subtitle really puts it. How do we understand Christ's radical call to simplicity? Often statements about denying wealth and possessions. How do we live that out? Mm-hmm. Does it necessarily mean leaving the city and going to the country and getting a farm? No, not necessarily, because you might find that's not a simple life at all. Mm-hmm. But the book's about is what Marilyn and I did learn and my children from our time in the rural life about living a more detached, mm-hmm. simple life in obedience to Christ, and then trying to figure out how we can pass it on to our kids.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Marcus. Look for Marcus Grodi's interview about his book, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. It's available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Thank you for joining us on this EWTN Bookmark Brief.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect round out of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges, but our good Lord told us to put out into deep water. Very grateful today for all the blessings that He has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
It's Thursday. That means the World Over Live with Raymond Arroyo. Be sure to check it out. That'll be on tonight at 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television. Back to the phones we go. Craig is in Northern Kentucky listening to EWTN on Sacred Heart Radio out of Cincinnati. Craig, you are on with Father Larry Richards.
Hello, Craig.
Hello, Father. Six lines open. I'm taking advantage of that to talk to you.
Yeah.
I saw
not
recently
anymore.
You're at the E6. I saw recently you're at the E6 conference in Indiana next year. I'm super excited about that.
There you go. Good job. You come and say hi. Okay.
I will. Father Larry, my question is going to have to do with marriage and defending marriage between one man and one woman. Mm-hmm. You know, with same-sex marriage nowadays, even now I'm hearing some things as far as polygamy. Mm-hmm. My question has to do with Genesis 2 that we hear so often at weddings, you know, where the two shall become one and become one flesh in Genesis 2. But yet right after that, so many of the fathers of the Old Testament had multiple wives. Mm-hmm. So I guess, could you help me explain that to people where, you know, some people who are, you know, just defending marriage, they might say, well, you know, the Old Testament fathers had multiple wives.
Sure. Well, again, and everything changes because, again, in the beginning, they were trying to populate the earth, right? So part of the way they populated the earth was to have one man and many wives, you know, and so and they populated their religion and different things like that. And and by the time it came to Jesus, I mean, that practice was really not as popular as it was in those days, you know, but it was a way, because women... Oh, dear. You know, without going into too much, but women were not seen as equals, you know, in that. So they needed protected. They needed to belong to a tribe. And so when one man would sit there and marry many women, that was part of them to be protected and part of the a way of including them. And then it was another way for population, for the, you know, the more of the church to grow and different things. You know, but then when Jesus came and he said, okay, this is what it is, one man, one woman, and he explains it more explicitly. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament. You know, even remember when Sarah goes and gives one of the concubines or one of the her slaves to Abraham, and he fathers Ishmael through that. I mean, think about it. You know, there's a lot going on in the Old Testament that we don't do anymore in the New Testament, and the Jewish people don't do anymore either. You know, but it was a... I often say the way God deals with us is the way we deal with children. When society was young and God was stronger with us, like when you have children as a child, you find your kid playing with matches. Well, you might go and slap his hand. Like, you can't play with matches. You want to make it deep there. But then as they're 21, you don't slap their hand anymore. So, as humanity has grown, the way we live has grown, and we've gotten more focused. And then Jesus comes, you know, because, again, in the Old Testament, it used to be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Then Jesus came along and says, what I say to you is offer no resistance. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So it's when by the time Christ comes, he's now brought the fulfillment of the law. This is the way we're called to live. You know, so we just never, we can't just look at the Old Testament and those things. Everything, we have to look through the eyes of the New Testament. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I'm looking forward to meeting you in February,
too. Nice to. Okay, God bless you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for calling us, Craig. Bye-bye.
That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. Next stop, Father Larry.
Yes.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Heaven on earth.
Kate is in Pittsburgh listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Kate, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Father Larry.
How are you?
How are you?
What part of Pittsburgh are you from?
I'm near the airport.
Nice. I'm at the airport.
So kind of the outbound regions a little
bit. Sure. I grew up in Spring Hill on the north side is where I grew up.
Oh, okay.
My mom is still there. She was a cop in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, what's
it's
up?
Great area.
It is.
I think you actually kind of answered my question with the previous caller.
Okay.
I was talking with someone, and we were just talking about how God the Father seems so different in the Old Testament, you know, compared to the New Testament now,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the plagues and, you know, Noah's flood clearing everyone out with being mm-hmm. so sinful. And I usually try to explain it, well, you know, now with the, you know, Jesus and the new covenant, you know, our relationship with God the Father is different. So mm-hmm. would that be along the right lines then?
It is. And again, in the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't died for anybody's sins yet. You know, all the appeasement of justice has been done in the death of Christ on the cross. I mean, that's what happens. And that's why when we put ourselves under the blood of Jesus and we let him save us, then he pays for he himself, who is God, pays for our sins. That's what grace is. And so the Old Testament is not under grace. It's still completely under justice. And justice can be really bad mm-hmm. if that's all there is. But again, though, as I said earlier, it's when you grow up... as humanity has grown and has grown, God deals with humanity different today as he did 4,000 years ago. Because we've grown.
Great.
Humanity's grown. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Father.
Thanks, Kate. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
1-800-585-9396. I wanted to call from Germany. We got a YouTube question from Slovenia.
pretty close.
Ziga's in Slovenia. He wants to know, how do you set up a regular prayer schedule? How do you get into it? Is it better to pray formalized prayers like the rosary or free-form prayer? Please advise.
Well, I think that the biggest thing, you know, the Word of God says, my people die from lack of discipline in Proverbs. And so part of the reality is you have to discipline yourself. So like for me, I'll just do as I tell you as I do. I pray. I get up every morning at 4:55 and then I'm down in the chapel by 5:05 or 5:10 in the church. And then I always start off with the formal prayers. So the first thing I do every morning is I do the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Right after the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I do my rosary. Right after the rosary, I do my office of readings, and after the office of readings, I do my morning prayer. And so, and then I'll do scripture reading, and then in the silence, and I let the Lord, that's for my free form prayer. So I was just talking about this yesterday because someone was asking me, how do you know you're in a relationship with Jesus? And I said, you know, when you're in a relationship with Jesus, is not because you're just doing your formal prayer, but that you're in conversation with God throughout the day. You know, so you're always talking to God and you're listening to God. So I always say it's not either or, it's both and. So you spend time doing formal prayers, but then to get those things out of the way, because like again, on the anniversary of Our Lady at Fatima, when she says say the rosary every day, we say the rosary every day because she asked us to. But then you need time to listen. You need time to talk. You need to say, I'm having a great day, God. I'm having a bad day, God. Lord, I'm afraid about what's going to happen today. You got to help me. All that. I just say that be real in your relationship with Jesus. Don't try to be fake. You know, I had a poor guy. I went to the seminary the other day, and as I was up there, there was a kid's name. His name was Pius. And I said, are you Pius? And he goes, I try to be, Father. I go, oh, don't try to be Pious. Try to be real. You know, and the Pious will flow out of your realness. It's a different reality. So, but the biggest thing, you need to set time aside for prayer. It can be in the morning. It can be in the afternoon. It can be in the evening. But you need to set up time. And I always tell people, the beginning is promise Almighty God that you will spend at least 5 minutes a day in prayer for the rest of your life. Period. Then you get those 5 minutes in. Now, as time goes on, it can grow, and hopefully it will, but you at least promise that.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Next up is Art. He's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening to EWTN Online. Art, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Art.
Hi, Father Larry. Hey, I recently started working with a new company.
Okay.
And this guy that I work with, I had the occasion that came up that we talked about Jesus and the church. This guy is a reincarnationist. He doesn't believe in the message of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And actually, the space that I occupy to him is an affront to him. But I have no choice. I have to work with the guy on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it is tough.
Sure.
Very tough.
Sure.
He doesn't like me. He knows my family. He doesn't like my family. He makes it very difficult to come to work and work with him, period.
Hmm.
So how do you deal? The fact that I know him and he knows my family is kind of like a coincidence, a weird one. But, I mean, how do you convince people that Christianity is the right way and reincarnationist thinking, you know, narcissism, selfishness is not the way to live.
Well, again, you don't convince anybody. The Holy Spirit does that. And I wouldn't even try to convert him. Let the Holy Spirit do that. But I would try to sit there and do as I talked about earlier. You know, when Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and this guy seems like he's an enemy to you, that's exactly what he means. But the reason we love our enemies, it annoys the heck out of them, first of all. But second of all, we sit there and we can be, you know, Jesus, when people were spitting on him and killed him, he said, forgive them. He loved us to the end. You know, he loved those who were killing him. And so did, Saint Stephen, you know, do not hold this against them, Lord. So if you start praying for that guy every day before you go to work, Lord, help him to know your love and your mercy. People that are filled with narcissism and filled with trying to find things in this world, they eventually find out it's all empty. And he can find that out faster or sooner or later. But if you pray for him every day, and you know, and that's, wow, that's because you're taking up your cross. You're saying, Jesus, this person who hates me and very, very hard and difficult, Jesus, I go to work today for love of you. I go and I put up with this today for love of you. He's the one who can make a saint out of you, you know, that you do that. And then say, Lord, the more he treats me bad, may it be turned into his good. May he come to know you the worse he treats me. And I'm telling you, that kind of grace from you, that kind of love from you can be unbelievably life-changing for him. The person I hated the most on this earth was a kid named Justin Fatica, and we hated each other unbelievably. And he came to Jesus, and now he's like my son. And it happened by me sitting in his chair, praying for him when he wasn't there in the classroom, and asking God to change my heart towards this kid. And it's amazing what grace can do. So you might even want to try that. One day when he's not there, you sit in his chair and you say, Jesus, I hate this person. Change my heart and bring him to a knowledge of your love and let God do the rest. Does that help, Art? I know it's not easy, but...
No, you're right. The not easy is the hardest part of that.
I know.
I have a prayer that I would like to offer to you and to everyone about the world situation.
Sure.
It's very simple. It's Saint Jesus or Saint Joseph, protector of the Holy Family, pray for us.
Yep.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Jesus, Savior of the world, heal us.
Absolutely. Amen. Great. Great
Amen.
Prayer.
Good job, Art.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Sometimes the nastier they get, the closer they are to the kingdom, Art. Hang
exactly.
in there.
Exactly. God bless you. Bye-bye.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. You know, we publish books now, Father Larry. I don't know if you knew that.
I know, none of mine, but I'm glad they do. Yeah,
yeah. And a big feature item this month is the Contemplative Rosary with St. Paul, with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila. There's a couple of heavyweights of the faith. These great saints show us how to overcome distractions and dryness in prayer, learn the difference between contemplation and meditation. You want to take that one on, Father?
Wow.
I'll get you the book. So
yeah,
you can
I better
learn about
read it.
It.
That'll be like.
Learn how to enrich your vocal prayer and how the rosary can unite vocal and mental prayer in a way that can lift your heart to the heights of contemplation. That's the Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila by our good friend Dan Burke and Connie Rossini. Available at EWTNRC.com. Next up is Melissa. She's in Denver, Colorado, listening to EWTN on Denver Catholic Radio. Melissa, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Father Larry. Love you. Missed you at the Answers Conference this year.
Oh, well, you tell them to invite me back, those pagans at Catholic Answers. What's the matter with those people?
Anyway, I wanted, firstly, before I move on, the gal who called about her sister being pregnant out of wedlock, just to reassure, hopefully she's still listening, a similar situation in my life years ago, and my sister did not marry the man, thank God, who was the father of her, she actually had four children out of wedlock, but needless to say, the oldest daughter, the first one, is just an absolutely lovely woman in the church, raising her own family in the church. So
bless God.
Comes out of it all. So anyway,
absolutely.
But my question is I've started if you want to call it women's dignity study at a women's shelter out here, and we see these women maybe 3 weeks for maybe an hour at a time, and you know, women in the shelters. They're experiencing homelessness at this time, whether they have mental illness or they're addicts or whatever the reason being. And I guess I've had two sessions with them, and we've talked about dignity. We've talked about the love of God, you know, the whole shebang. But they don't know God. Mm-hmm. Even yesterday, as we were talking about Jesus and the love on the cross and he gave his life for us and stuff, one of the young women had never heard about this.
Sure.
And so I guess my question to you is, in the brief time I'm there, I mean, they've really touched my heart. I mean, I really feel this profound love for them.
Good.
But I don't know how to... I want to leave them with that love, you know, but it's only 3 weeks.
Sure.
And it's only an hour at a time.
You can do, like, again, you can, in 1 hour, and I've done it throughout my life, in 1 hour you can change people's lives. Just 1 hour. You can even do it in one confession. But you can do it in one, and the biggest way to do that is before you go there is you pray for these people. Because you can't do it, God can do it within you. It's all the Holy Spirit. And then what you need to do is to talk to them about how to pray, how to experience God holding you every day. So I like to tell people to go and spend time with the scripture of Mark 1:1, Mark 1:11. And in Mark 1:11, it's the baptism of Jesus, where God the Father says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So you tell them to read that, but instead of Son, it's just, "You're my beloved child, with whom I'm well pleased," because when whatever happened to Jesus happens to us. And so God looks at us every time we go to pray, and he says, "You are my beloved, and I'm pleased with you." And if you could get them to every day to do that, wow, they'll come to experience the love of Jesus. And I just teach people the way to pray is a three-step method. You just become still.
Okay.
You say you're sorry, and you tell Jesus you're sorry the way you hurt him, the way you hurt others, or the way you hurt yourself. And no big, it's not like going to confession. It's just, "I'm sorry," and get that out of the way. The second thing you do is, "I surrender to you, Jesus." And when you surrender your life to him, then he can do things for you because you've given him power. You've given him the authority over your life. He will not take it. He'll only give it. He'll only receive it if you give it to him. So first thing you do, "I'm sorry." The second thing you do is, I surrender. And the third thing you do is, "Hold me." And you close your eyes and you let the Lord embrace you. And I say, 1 minute for "I'm sorry," 1 minute for "I surrender," 3 minutes for "Hold me." And you just spend, and you put your head on the chest of Jesus and you listen to his heartbeat. Every time his heart beats, he says, "I love you. I love you." And then you end that prayer with Jesus saying the Lord's Prayer. Let it echo through you. And you just teach them that. And you can get my prayer. I have a CD on prayer where I walk people through that. And it's just called prayer.
Okay.
And it's anything. And that can help them. You just teach them how to pray. And that'll give them tools for the rest of their life to come to know the love of God.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling us.
That's going to be a huge help.
God bless
Goodbye.
You. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next stop, the Motor City. Joe is in Detroit listening on Ave Maria Radio. Joe, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Joe in Detroit, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
What's up?
Hey, I have a question about confession. I'm a revert, so I had a misspent youth. I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
Went away for too long.
Okay.
And then came back a number of years ago and have been going to confession regularly since.
Okay.
But it appears to me that there are things that I did in my youth that I never took to the confessional. You know, people would remind me of something that I did, and I go, "You know, I never confessed that."
Okay.
I didn't not on purpose, but I didn't just the same. I've heard people go and confess all their sins, you know, and spend hours with a priest. I'm wondering if that's scrupulous or if that's necessary or if it's not.
If they're mortal sins, you still need to confess them, you know, so you bring them up and don't go crazy over it. Just say, "Father, you know, I was thinking of some things and there's mortal sin in my life when I was younger. I never confessed, but I want to get that out of the confessional now." Now, you don't have to make, like, again, sometimes people want to make life confessions and they've already confessed all these things again and again and again, but they want to do it as a life confession. Well, that I say, stop it. Don't ever confess a sin that's already been confessed if it's already been forgiven, because it gives glory to the evil one. You want to sit there, one drop of the blood of Jesus is enough. But if it's mortally sinful, you need to confess that when the Lord brings it up, and just don't confess it anymore. Then just say, "Lord, Father, here, I did this when I was young and I just want to get rid of it now," and then he'll know how to deal with that.
Very
is that
good.
Helpful?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
God bless you.
Still time for your calls at 1-800-585-9396. I'll watch the clock. You answer the questions.
Oh,
Teresa's in Fort Worth, Texas, listening to EWTN Radio. Teresa, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello,
Hi,
Teresa.
Father Larry.
Would you beat Jack for me? Go ahead.
I just want to tell you first of all.
I think Teresa liked the sound of that.
What's that? I'm sorry. Jack was talking again.
I just wanted to tell you, first of all, how much I love your voice. And
oh, thank you.
If you sing.
Oh, I do sing, absolutely. Someone just said to me,
very well.
Now, Father, do you have a CD on your singing? I go, no. You should do that, Father. I go, I don't know. But anyway,
absolutely.
What can we help you with? What's
well,
up?
My question was, you were talking about purgatory earlier, and my sister was raised in the Catholic Church, but she has left for the Baptist faith, and she doesn't believe that purgatory applies to her. So
sure.
My question is, it applies to everyone, whether they believe or not.
Exactly.
Right?
Absolutely. Because, again, I always come back to the same thing. Truth is truth for everyone, or it's not true at all, right? So if purgatory exists, it exists for everybody. Again, like if you're a Buddhist and you don't believe in Jesus, well, you're going to believe when you're dead. It's just that simple. You can't sit there and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Well, Jesus isn't God then. You know, so either is God and it applies for everybody, or he's not God and it applies to nobody. So if purgatory exists, then it exists whether she believes in it or not, you know. So I was saying, you know, once someone came to Padre Pio and they said to him in confession, Padre Pio, excuse me, I don't believe in hell. And he goes, oh, you will when you're there. You know, and so I was like, oh, well, there you go. So, but don't be nasty about it. Just say, well, if it's real whether you believe it or not. And, you know. Again,
sure,
everybody,
and just keep praying for her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and again, I think when you can talk about it in the way I did earlier, that it's just a place where God embraces you in the love. Because, again, you're still redeemed by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. I loved how you put that. I also heard recently that during the first 8 days of November, when we celebrate the Holy Souls, that we can visit a cemetery and pray for the souls in that cemetery, and we get a plenary indulgence. Have you heard that?
As long as the other conditions are met.
Yeah, there's a lot of conditions, which means confession and, you know, you have to go to confession 3 days before, maybe it's 9 days, but anyway, 3 days before and go to communion 3 days before or 3 days after, 9 days on each side, I don't know. And then you have to have no attention, this is where it gets me all the time, it's no attachment to sin, even venial, to get a plenary indulgence. And you can do it for the poor souls, of course. And there's the Kidron of Indulgences is out there. You can get it. But you can also go online, and it gives you all those things. But I didn't know about the 8 days, but maybe it is. But it would be in the Kidron of Indulgences. And you look that up, and it tells you all the indulgences you can get.
Very quickly, we'll head to Joe in Dexter, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Joe, we've got about a minute left with Father Larry. What's your question?
Hi, Joe. What's up?
So I have a 16-year-old grandson who wears a Buddha necklace, and I said to him, you know, he's Christian. His mom was raised Catholic, but they chose to be Lutheran. And I said, you know, you're breaking one of God's Ten Commandments. And he says, well, I don't care because my friend gave it to me, and it cost $56, and I'm wearing it.
You get him a nice gold cross and say, here, it's even nicer, and it costs a lot more than $56, and get it blessed, and then what will we do it? Because you can be a friend of his, too. Okay?
What are the Oktoberfest dates again this Friday?
This Friday, tomorrow, from 5 o'clock until Sunday at 6 o'clock.
St. Joseph Catholic Church, Erie, Pennsylvania.
PA.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
Father God, I ask your blessing. Everyone's listening to us now. Give them your peace in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener Matt Kubinski, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. They're throwing me out of the studio tomorrow. EWTN's Theology Roundtable, back at it Monday. Until then, God bless.